Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many know that God hasn't changed? And He doesn't change. We may change, but He does not. That's why He can be trusted. Because He is faithful and He is true. And every word of God is pure. It's true. It's right. Amen. So we have to put our confidence in the one who doesn't change, who is, if you will, a steady foundation for our lives, the Word of God. And the Word became flesh. That's what Christmas is about, isn't it? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. God, the Word, became the Son of God, amen, and the Son of Man. Do you know we have a God-man in the heavens, amen, at the right hand of the Father? He is in glorified flesh. Hallelujah, He has a body. That's why they call Him the man Christ Jesus. Amen. And He came in the likeness of sinful Adam and paid the price, amen, that we deserve to pay so that we could be free from debtor's prison. We could be let out, amen, of the bondage that the enemy had us in. And we can be free from sin and the power of sin. And we can live in freedom, amen, to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Free from fear and condemnation. We're not supposed to worry about anything because God's got it. Amen. You just need to say, Lord, I thank You that You've got it. I thank You that You covered it. Amen. I don't see it, but I believe it. And if I believe it, then I will see it in time. A lot of it is about timing, you know. How many remember the Air Force song a few years ago, Aim High? Well, how many know that God wants us to aim high? He doesn't want us to live below our potential in Him. He does want us, however, to think soberly according to the measure of grace that we've received. Right. So we don't want to put ourselves out beyond what God has called us to or assigned to us. But we don't want to live below our potential in the Lord either. And so when God invests in us, He expects us to be faithful stewards of that investment and go out and trade with it. Go out and invest in what God has given to us into others. So how many know when you receive something from the Lord, it's not just for you? When you receive, amen, you're also to be a good steward of that and invest in others. And Jesus said, if you give, it shall be what? Given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So it's what we sow. It's not so much about what we're getting from God. It's when we receive from God, it's something that we can also sow. God gives the seed, amen? And if you plant the seed, if you're faithful to plant and water, then in due season, in the season that God appoints, what you have invested in obedience to His will come back to you. And sometimes it will not come back in this lifetime. But faith is believing beyond what we see here and now and realizing that God is true to His word. Whatever He says is always true. And God will honor those who honor Him. If we obey God, we're honoring Him. If we're believing God and saying yes to Him, we are honoring Him. Because God can be trusted. God wouldn't ask us or tell us to do something without backing it up. And He wouldn't ask us to do something that we weren't capable of doing in His name. The key is doing it in His name. When we say in His name, we're doing it in His authority and His ability that He gives us. So the Christian life, it's not difficult, it's actually impossible, apart from Him. But in Him, and through Him, and by Him, all things are possible. So God is constantly trying to get our attention, to get our eyes off us, and on Him. He has all that we have need of. The grace is sufficient. His grace every day is sufficient for us. But sometimes we're stubborn. I don't know about you, but I've been stubborn at least once in my life. But He's a good Father and He's faithful, isn't He? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on us? That God is patient with us. You know, I think if we're not careful, we can settle for a walk with the Lord that is far below what He makes available to us. I mean, there's peace, there's joy, there's health, there's forgiveness, there's victory in the great salvation that Jesus has provided for us. What God wants us to do is grow up. He wants us to grow up. Become adults. I mean, I know that you can be biologically an adult, but intellectually a child, right? So we see that in the natural, but God also wants us to get off the bottle. Amen. Grow up and start taking in some meat and start taking on responsibility and start partnering with Him, learning how to walk with the Lord rather than constantly having to have this, our hands held. When a child is learning to walk, you hold their hands. Amen. And you help steady them and hold them up and give them some strength. But in hopes that someday they're going to be able to let go of your hands and know that you're there if they start to fall, amen? But they're going to learn how to walk with confidence that you are who you say you are, that you're mom and dad and you're going to take care of them. And if I begin to fall, right, I know you're there. So I don't feel God today. That doesn't mean He's not there. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to learn how to trust Him. Because what we're called to do, again, is beyond what we're capable in the natural. It is a supernatural life. And you cannot receive the supernatural ability of God unless you are depending on God. If we are self-sufficient, if we are stubborn-willed and strong in ourselves, and we're going to do this Christian life, we're going to make it happen. How many know you can't make it happen? You can't do it without Him. You can do zero without Him, right? But all things, what? Through Him. So God is constantly working in our lives through different situations and circumstances to teach us how to rely upon Him. And it isn't forever, guys. Sometimes it seems like the trial goes on forever. Amen? But when that answer does come, it's always enhanced because you've had to wait for something. And in the process of waiting, you've been developing your spiritual muscles, hopefully. Because you've been faithful to trust the Lord. Amen. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels like, I trust in the truth that God is faithful and true. And He won't forsake me. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, Paul said, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." He said, be mature, grow up, be complete. The word means to repair, to mend, or perfectly join together, even to restore. God wants His people to be built up in Him, strengthened in Him, healed, delivered, amen, set free, and walking in His wholeness. God wants His church to be prepared for the day when He comes for His bride. He's preparing us, guys. We're in the dressing room of eternity, as we say. God is looking for the day when this church, this bride, His people throughout the earth are going to be presented to Christ. Amen. And He's looking for a chaste virgin. He's looking for a holy people. He's looking for a prepared bride. Amen. Jesus wants His church to be radiant. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul said, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." He's warning the church to avoid idolatry. No other gods, nothing before Him. Jesus first in all things. Amen. We are to keep ourselves because we are going to be presented to Him someday. Amen. If you are a spouse to be married, you are engaged to be married. No one wants their potential or future husband or wife giving themselves over to somebody else. Amen? You want that one to have eyes for only you and to keep themselves pure until the day when that marriage is consummated. Amen? And that covenant is sealed in blood. That is God's original intent and purpose for marriage and for virginity. It's a blood covenant. And the Lord, through His precious blood, offers us forgiveness and cleansing and purification for preparation for the day when we'll be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. Hallelujah. Thank God all the sins, all the things that we've done will be forgiven. Amen. And not held against us anymore. They're canceled out by the power of the blood of Christ. And when you repent and you turn to God, God sees your heart. He sees that this is a repentant one. This is one who means business. They're not just giving God lip service, but they are demonstrating by the way that they now live their lives that they have truly repented towards God and put their faith in Christ. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's more than just saying, God, I'm sorry. We can be remorseful but unrepentant. You can be sorry about it, but repentance means I changed my mind, doesn't it? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to speak that way, live that way any longer. I'm giving myself over to Jesus Christ. Amen. My bridegroom, I'm going to be prepared for that day when He comes. Amen. I'm not going to adulterate myself, my life in this world, this sin-sick world, but I'm going to separate myself from that which is evil, and I'm going to commit myself to Him who is holy. And He's going to do a work in me and prepare me for the day when we shall see Him. We are a work in progress, guys. I know some people don't like to hear that, but that's exactly what it is. We're not done yet. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not done yet. Ephesians 5:27, that He, the Lord, might present her to Himself a glorious church. Not having what? Spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that she should be holy and without blemish. The word glorious means splendid, noble, gorgeous. Guys, how many want a gorgeous bride? Amen. How many married your gorgeous bride here? You better say yes. Amen. I get better looking each day, don't I, honey? Yeah. You know, God doesn't want us to settle for an incomplete standard of holiness. God wants us to be like Him. Christ-like. Godly. Amen. He doesn't want His bride out there giving herself over to the world and the lusts of the world, lusts of the flesh. Amen. Giving ourselves over to sexual immorality and what the world may say is the way to be and the way to think and the way to live. Our standard is not based upon what the world thinks. Amen. Amen. Our standard is the Word of God, the truth. And if you're willing to submit yourself to God's truth, you can come into God's freedom. And the power of sin is broken through the blood of Christ. And we can walk as sons and daughters, no longer slaves to sin, but righteous in Him and free to serve the Lord. Amen. Free of condemnation, fear, or guilt, or shame. Praise God. How many have a clear conscience today? Your conscience is clear today before the Lord. Amen. How about before man too? You got a clear conscience towards your neighbor, towards the people in your life? Have you dealt with all that? Amen. You've forgiven people? That's good, isn't it? It's freedom. Jesus said, Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, when I first read that, because I started out on the King James, and I'm thinking, man, I got to be perfect. And I'm thinking, man, that's never been the case. So how am I going to be perfect? Well, I'll just try harder to be perfect. How many have been trying harder to be perfect? Has anybody here arrived yet? Don't raise that hand. We're going to have a prayer meeting right now. We're going to have an altar call. What does he mean by perfect? He means to be mature or complete. Grow up. Become more and more Christ-like, like your Father. Amen? Like Father, like Son. And so he doesn't want us to just be in Adam. He wants us to come out of Adam and into Christ. He wants us to come out of darkness into light, out of death into life. A transition. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The Amplified says, you therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character. That means who you are inside as well. Having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as your heavenly Father is perfect, Now, in Leviticus chapter 19:1, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." How many know that, once again, God has not changed? God still expects his people to be what? Holy. God's coming for a bride without spot or blemish. He's coming for a prepared bride, a prepared people. How many know a prepared people are people who are looking, anticipating the coming of the Lord? Understanding that he could come. They're alert. They've got oil in their lamps. They're waiting for the call to go out. The bridegroom comes. Prepare to meet the bridegroom. Are you ready to meet the bridegroom? Well, it's not because I've just performed so well today, but because my full confidence is in the bridegroom, in the mercy of God. Amen? If you submit yourself to God, that means you place yourself under his authority, under his word. Amen? Then you will have spiritual authority. Then you can resist the devil. How many know that the devil doesn't want to be close to Jesus? So if you and I stay close to Jesus, and how many know that in your giving God praise and thanks throughout your day, that you're creating that atmosphere that God inhabits, and wherever he is, there is righteousness and peace and joy. Amen? And praise creates an atmosphere that is actually toxic to the devil. That's why sometimes you can come and be feeling very pressed down or oppressed. And you get into praise, amen, and thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. And before long, you find that thing lifting off of you. How many felt that this morning? Maybe you came in, you felt the lifting off of that heaviness. Yeah. You see, also God is smiling on the fact that you and I as his people are joining together. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, all man could do is basically copy what he knew of God, but he remained unchanged in his heart. See, a hypocrite is an actor, right? A stage player. So a hypocrite is somebody saying, I'm just trying to be like, or act like. But what God does is he comes to change us, to transform us into his glorious image. So as we bear the image of the earthly, of Adam, we're supposed to also bear the image of the heavenly, Christ. Amen? So I'm looking at Adam here, amen, but I also want to see Christ. Amen? As we dwell in him, as we abide in him, as we continue in him, as we're spending time with him together in intimacy, you begin to look more and more like the one you're intimate with. Did you know that? The two become one, even in marriage. The two become one flesh. So in the spirit, as we are joined to the Lord, we become one spirit. So earthly and heavenly come together in Christ, you see. So the God's super overshadows our natural. And we become supernatural people. So how many know that Jesus is the one that makes us look good? Jesus is the one that makes you look good. If you're just trying to make yourself look good, forget it. Amen. Eventually that paint's going to peel, right? But the Lord, his glory, amen, is our heavenly clothing. And we are to bear his image. And so if we are continuing in him and his word and in fellowship with him, through the difficulties, through all the things that we face in this life, hold on to Jesus. Don't ever let go. Why? Because he's never let go of you. He says, if you come running, you call on me, I'll be there. Problem is like the old song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. Come on. And when we do pray, we have to believe. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you receive. Amen. Do you believe that God has enough grace for you every day? Yes. So when you ask, you need to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. It's done. I have what I have need of right now because I have you. If I have you, I have everything I need. Hallelujah. And then out of that place of rest, amen, God will begin to show you what to do and to make rational decisions in your life. How many here have made decisions in panic time? How well does that work for you? It doesn't work good, does it? No, we got to get into God's rest and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to settle down. I'm going to start. We're going to have a talk here, and I want to hear from you, Lord, because I don't know what to do. And get into rest. Just relax. Wait on the Lord. And if God gives you instruction, just do it. If He doesn't give you instruction, hold fast to your last instruction. Amen? And thank Him for being faithful in your life. Don't get out ahead of Him. But God doesn't want us to live below our potential. He wants us to aim high. He has a high road for us. Did you know that? It's funny how the politicians get a hold of this stuff. When they go low, we go high. Well, in your agenda maybe, but how about God's agenda? Let's go higher than high, amen? Higher than your high. But we should desire to be like Him. In the Old Testament, all we could do, guys, under that system, was to do the best we could in our own strength, which was far below. It always fell, didn't it? We can never really live completely according to what God wanted. The good news is that today, God has sent His Holy Spirit upon His church to fill His church so that God actually possesses us now in the new covenant. Amen? When you're born again, Christ comes to dwell within you, and then you can, by His grace, do everything He's called you to do. Everything. Without excuse. Now, if you're trying in your own strength, that's a problem. Yeah. But in His ability, so Lord, like Paul said, in my weakness, Your strength is made perfect. He was able to discover a strength, a supernatural strength that came from the Lord when he realized that in himself he didn't have what it took to do it. Because most of us, let's face it, we've been trained up and brought up in this world to take care of yourself, do it yourself. If you even hear many of your professionals, right, singers, athletes, they'll all say, well, if you try hard enough, you can do it. Well, that may be true for some according to their gift sets. But I know some people that have tried to do an instrument, for example, you know, and they said, all I got to do is believe and try harder and I can do it. No, not necessarily. If it's not who God's called you to be and it's not your gift set, then find out what He wants you to do and do that. Amen. Don't spend yourself on something God hasn't called you to. It's okay. It's really not about us, is it? It's really about what God wants to accomplish through us. If He gives you a gift or a talent, you just give it back to Him. Amen. Be faithful with that. Amen. And God will increase it. God will help you. God gives a gift, but He wants us to go and develop it as well. In reference to the Jewish people, in 2 Corinthians 3:15, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. From what? Glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So under the old covenant, only Moses was allowed to see the glory of God. And he had veiled his face. Remember when he came down from the mount? They couldn't look steadfastly at him because of the glory of God. It was so bright. But today, as people turn to the Lord, that veil is removed. Amen. And then we can behold the glory of God. We can actually know who God is. We cannot know God except by revelation, that God be revealed to us by His Spirit. But if we have a heart that's repentant towards God, we turn to the Lord, God will remove the veil from our eyes. Did you understand? How can we have an unveiled face today? What does that look like? Let me give you a practical way. By confessing and forsaking sin. By being completely honest with God and ourselves. That's how the veil is removed. That's right. Don't try to make excuses, right? Justify it. Don't make excuses for your sin. How many know that sin blinds? When we try to justify our behaviors, our sin, we're giving permission for the devil to come and blind us. It veils us from seeing the glory of God. You want to see the glory of God? You want to really know God? Repent. Confess and forsake your sins. Be honest, completely honest before God. Amen. Give Him permission to work in your life, in your heart. He doesn't barge the door down, He knocks. If you hear my voice, open the door, I'll come in. We'll have fellowship together, but just be honest. You can't hide anything from God. I can't hide anything from God. And He's the one that we're going to give an account to someday. How many know we all have our day in court? I want to hear the Lord say, well done. So get it right today. Today God is giving us opportunity in this dispensation of grace, amen, to get our hearts right by confessing and renouncing the sin life, turning away from Adam, turning to Christ fully, amen, dying to self and living for Him. Hallelujah. How many have ever regretted doing that? From glory to glory. It doesn't say that God's working things out from backsliding to glory, but from glory to glory. See, the devil beats us up sometimes when we make a mistake. And he says, oh, everything you've done is all for nothing now. You got to start all the way from the beginning again. And you repeat this cycle, this vicious. It's like, I talked about it Wednesday. It's like being a gerbil in one of those wheels. You're just going around in the circle. You're not going anywhere. Why? Because the enemy, as soon as you do something, the enemy beats you up and he puts you right back. And you say, well, I can't go anywhere. I can't go forward from here because of what I've done. Praise God that there's mercy at the cross. Praise God that we have forgiveness. If we will call upon our great high priest, amen, the advocate that we have with the Father, the Lord, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. He is faithful and just, isn't he? To forgive us and to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. And don't let that devil accuse you any longer. Amen. Tell him where to go. Get him out of you. Reject him. Satan, I reject you. Jesus, I receive you. I reject the lie. I receive the truth. I will live according to the word of God. So you and I need to forsake all role playing, all posing, all facades, all compromises. Everything in our lives should be yes and no. No compromising. Well, you know, it's not a big deal. Other people doing it. That's why you even have to be careful what Christians you hang out with. Because they can influence you. Amen. You want to hang out with people that are red hot for Jesus. Amen. That are living the life of victory. Hallelujah. And you want to reach out your hand and help others that aren't. But you don't want to get in the same pit with them. Amen. Be careful. We keep our face unveiled by confessing before God and forsaking and being honest with God. What does God want us to do? He wants us to grow up. He wants us to be mature. He wants us to be complete. So this is the thing, guys. If we're not careful, we'll live below our potential. Amen? The enemy does not want you to grow up. Why? Because an adult can reproduce. An adult can bear fruit. Are you hearing me, somebody? So he wants to keep you in an infantile state. He wants to keep you immature and constantly needing somebody else to put those paddles on you. Come up for another. This is 549 times now. Come on up and get prayed for one more time. How about just starting to submit yourself to God, obey the word of God, and say, you know what, I'm taking responsibility for my life. I'm not relying on Joe or Sister Sue or whatever, amen, to give me some of their oil. I need to learn how to go and get oil myself. God wants us to become mature so that we can produce. And also we can mentor and help others, amen? As we mature and as we grow, we could be looking for opportunities. You don't have to wait, amen, for some pie in the sky or some way off distant time. As God begins to develop things in you and show you things and deliver you from things, if you've been delivered from something, you can help somebody else get free. If God has given you a word, a revelation, then you can take that word and revelation and share it with somebody else. And as you are faithful to give what He has sown into you, He will make you ruler of much. He will give you more revelation. Isn't that true? That's why it's awesome that, you know, I have to prepare and I have to study, amen, to feed others. And we all should be doing the same thing, amen? And there's ways that God will allow us to do that. If we're looking for an opportunity, they're there. Be faithful. Sow what He's given you to sow. Sow mercy. You're a teacher, be a good teacher. You're a prophet, prophesy according to the measure of grace God gives you, the ability God gives you. Amen? And as we are faithful, and as we are good stewards over what He's invested, God will increase the measure that He will entrust to us, which will in turn result in greater fruitfulness and a greater welcome to heaven someday. Amen? A greater welcome into the glory of God. How many here want to hear Jesus say, well done? Amen. So we've got to be real. We've got to keep looking in the mirror of God's Word too. You know, it says that we're all with this unveiled face, you know, looking into the glory of God. Under the Old Testament in the temple, you remember there was a laver there, a washing laver, and there were brass mirrors. So the priest would have to go and wash in that laver, right? And as he was washing, he was seeing what? A reflection of himself. So we are washed by the water of the Word of God brings revelation to reveal to us who we really are. And if we don't keep looking in the mirror, we can forget who we are and even our identity in the Lord. So we look into the mirror, amen, of God's Word. Hallelujah. And we are actually what? Changed from glory to glory. The entrance of God's Word brings light. And where there's light, darkness can no longer abide. That's how we get free, amen, by the power of the Word of God. By the Spirit and the Word working together in our lives. So one of the purposes of the fivefold ministry is to help us attain to the full measure of Christ. Ephesians 4:13, it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You and I cannot reach maturity alone. God has placed in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. God wants His people to be equipped. So we need each other. We need the ministries that each one of us has been entrusted with. If we're all doing our part to invest what God has invested in us, then the body will grow healthy and grow strong. It's no different than our own body. If we have a problem in our physical body, remember, then that part that is healthy can minister to the part that's not. And eventually, you never know, but that part that you just ministered to, as it became strong, this one might have a little problem. Amen? And then that same part that you just ministered to can then return that favor and help you. So we work as a team. We are a team. We are the people, the congregation of the Lord. Amen? So Colossians 1:10, Paul, Apostle Paul prayed this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen? Of the Lord. Now, what was Paul's attitude about himself? We know that Paul was probably the greatest apostle of all times. Listen to his attitude. This is where we have to also understand that if we have a haughty attitude or an overinflated opinion of ourselves, amen, it's pride, and where pride is, God's not going to do much. But if you humble yourself, amen, God can invest in you. The river of God seeks out the low places. Amen. A river doesn't flow in mountains, but it flows in valleys. So we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't have it together. I don't have everything. I need You. I don't have wisdom. I need Your wisdom. I don't have enough strength. I need Your strength. Lord, I don't have a word to speak. I need the word that You would give me. Amen? I don't know how to pray. Help, teach me how to pray. Enable me, empower me to pray even. Philippians 3:12, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on. He's saying I'm going to grow up to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I believe the devil sometimes deceives Christians into thinking that they're all that. That you don't need to grow anymore. Oh God, I thank you that Joe was here to receive that word today. You understand, we're all in need of God's word. We're all needy people. If we understand that we have a need, praise God, He will fill that low spot. Amen. But we have to be very careful because the enemy wants to make people think that they're all that. Because he knows that if he can get us full of ourselves and prideful, God's not going to pour His grace out there. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. In verse 14, I press on, he said, this is what I'm going to do, to reach the end of the race, receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. And he said in verse 15, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree at some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. Just like he did with Peter, he made it plain to Peter. They didn't have it. Amen? All together. In Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't take the low road. Don't take the passive road. How many know that we need to be diligent in our seeking of God? Amen? Pursuing Him and His will and His mission for us in this world. Amen? God wants us to go higher. He has something better for us than what we think we want for self. And avoid the path of least resistance. Sometimes, guys, we want to take the easy road, and the easy road sometimes is the wrong road. If it feels good, I'll do it. If there is a sacrifice in that, I don't think I'm interested. How many know that God honors sacrifice? And when you give your body back to God as a living sacrifice, that means I may not even feel like it, but my body belongs to God, and He can do what He wants with me in this body, amen? I just need to be cooperative. I need to submit myself to God. And if God says, get up and pray, God says, go call, go talk to somebody, go praise Him, whatever, I'm going to say, yes, Lord, because God gave me charge of this body. God gave you charge of your body. Your body is not the boss. Your lusts are not the boss. Amen. Christ has got to be head of your body. Amen. And you need to say, Lord, whatever you say. I'm not going to take that which you purchased with your own blood and give it over to sexual immorality. Amen. So what's God called us to? He's called us to be holy, pure, and complete, right? Don't settle like for less. He's called us to be ministers, able ministers by the Spirit of the Lord, each one of us. Called to be ambassadors representing His interests, right, in this world. We're God's sons and daughters. We're called to be lights. We're called to be salt, right? He didn't say we're called to be sugar. You are the sugar of the world. No, you're the salt of the... And sometimes salt stings. But people need to hear truth. Amen? They don't need a watered-down, compromised message. People need to know clearly what you're talking about. I mean, some of the music today, it's like, are you talking about your lover? What are you talking about? Just make it clear, amen, who we're talking about. Jesus said, don't be ashamed of me. And I'll be ashamed of you. He said, if you're ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and the holy angels. Amen. But if you confess me before men, then I'll confess you before my Father and His holy angels. Come on. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have to be obnoxious about our faith either. Use wisdom. Look for opportunities. Amen? Be a good listener. I'm a good talker, but sometimes I struggle with listening. So don't take the low road, guys. Don't take the passive road. Don't take the path of least resistance. And another thing, avoid pessimism. Avoid pessimism. God's plans for you are good. to give you hope in a future. Jeremiah 29:11. I believe that. Oh, woe is me. How many beside myself have gotten into a pity party before? Okay, just at least. Okay. Now, what is a pity party? A pity party is saying, I don't trust God to take care of this, so I have to worry and be fearful or upset about it. Is that right? I mean, does that make sense? That's really, if we really have confidence in God, then we're not going to get down. Like David said, downcast. Why so downcast? Oh, my soul. How many know that God has enabled you and I to be overcomers? In Romans 6:11, you were supposed to likewise reckon ourselves what? To be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. I'm not a slave to sin anymore, are you? If you're in Christ, you're free from that. God gives you the ability to live holy. Therefore, do not let sin reign. He says, your responsibility is not to allow it access. Amen? Watch your guard. Guard your thought life. What you're entertaining yourself with. Even who you're hanging out with. As I heard someone, Zach Poonen, one time, he said, if it's like a tug-of-war rope, you know? If the people you're hanging out with are pulling you in the wrong direction, let go of the rope. Yeah. Amen? If you're able to pull them towards the Lord, hang on to it. Lead them to the Lord, amen? But if you're not strong enough for that, let it go. It ain't worth it. I see that too many times with people that get hanging out with the wrong people, thinking that they're strong enough, and they end up dragging them down. That was me for a long time. In verse 13, it says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God. Do the positive thing. If you're presenting yourself to God and you're living for Him, you're not going to be preoccupied with, am I doing everything right? You're just doing everything right because you're walking with God. Amen? You're not going to be focused on what's wrong, because you know that when you're in harmony with the Lord, when you're walking with the Lord, you don't want to do anything to offend Him. You don't want to do anything to grieve the Lord. Right? If Christ is in you, that's going to be your heart. If you're okay with going out and sinning, and you don't have a conscience about that, you need to check yourself out, whether you're really in the faith or not. Christ's victory is our victory. Don't accept less. Psalm 60:11. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God, we will do valiantly. For it is He who shall tread down our enemies. Hallelujah. All things through Christ. You need to expect the fulfillment of God's faithful promises. You know, don't expect defeat. Don't expect poor health. Expect good health. Expect victory. Don't expect unanswered prayer. Expect answered prayer. The enemy wants to get in your prayer life, doesn't he? You start to pray for something, and a moment later, I've even had people be prayed for them at the altar. So we just pray the prayer of faith, and they say, yeah, well, I'm going to see my doctor, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, now, what did we just do up here? Was this a courtesy prayer, or were you believing God for a miracle? I'm not against doctors, amen. If God wants to use a doctor, that's one thing. But when you come to be prayed for, don't come up here expecting, well, I'll give them the opportunity to pray for me, but then I'm running over here to my doctor. Because the doctor knows best. Guys, in America, I think we're so quick to run to the doctor. We're so quick to run to the psychologist or the psychiatrist. We're so quick to run to man. For our problems, even Christians dragging each other into court. We should be able to handle those things within here, amen? If we got a dispute among us, I'm not saying anybody's done it here, but if that case arises, what should we do? Let's get together and have a powwow. Let's talk about this. It's better to be defrauded. That's what Paul says. Better to be defrauded than to take a brother in before those who don't know God and have him prosecuted. Oh, you guys go to the same church? Yeah. We go to the same church. Are you guys hearing me? We have to be careful what we do, what we allow and disallow in our lives, because we are representing God's honor. We come for God, come to God with faith. Come to God believing that He's able to do it. Come to God believing that I'm going to be healed. Amen. Not, well, maybe. I have a childlike attitude when it comes to prayer. Children simply believe that if you're going to give them a gift, they're going to reach out and say, okay, where's it at? How many know it's all a gift from God? Amen. It's all grace. Well, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Do you think you're going to receive anything from God? No, you come to God and say, God, I don't have anything, but I do need you. I do need your help. I need your mercy every day. I need your grace every day, lest I fall. If I become prideful, it means I no longer think I need you. Do you understand, guys? When we are prideful, we're prayerless. When we're in faith, we're praying. Because we believe. If you don't think your prayers are availing, it's because of your unbelief that they're not going to prevail. But you need to change your attitude about prayer. Amen? Start believing now that when I pray, Father, like Jesus prayed for Lazarus, I thank you that you what? Hear me and that you always hear me. But for the sake of those standing around today, I said that. So when we pray with confidence, believing that you receive it already. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That makes all the difference. If we believe God really loves us, really cares about us. And as a wise father, he's not always going to do what we want, how we want, when we want, whenever we want. But his timing is perfect in everything. And sometimes we've had to endure something for a season because he wanted to build us up in our spirit by drawing near to him and calling on him, maybe fasting and praying for a season. Amen. And when that process is complete, God says, okay, now here comes your miracle. And even if he doesn't give you the miracle you expect, he's doing a work somewhere else in your life that's going to be good. He's preparing us for eternity. He's making us beautiful. So aim high. Understand that God has a high road. Amen. It's the road of faith, of belief, of confidence. Amen. That God, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. We got to see God. We need to magnify God. And even our imaginations need to come into agreement. Amen. With the truth. To see God as much bigger than my problem. And certainly much bigger than me. Amen. Be like David. Psalms 42:11. This is, listen to David. Why are you cast down? That word cast down means sink or depress. Why are you depressed, O my soul? And why are you disquieted? That means uproar. There's an uproar, this upheaval inside, internal. Anybody beside myself felt that before? Anxiety or an upheaval within, uproar. Then he says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalms 42:11. Thank you, Lord. So what do we need to do? We need to grow up. I believe when we grow up in faith, then we are confidently assured that our God is faithful and true. He's going to take care of us. Supernaturally. God can make water flow from a rock. Amen. God can rain manna down from heaven. Take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about the future. What you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, any of that stuff. Your God's able to take care of it. Simply humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. He will give you instruction. He will show you what to do. You need wisdom, ask God. He gives liberally. My God is able to make a way. Even when it doesn't seem what to be a way. But he's the way maker. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, your word is good. Your word is truth. Your word is light. Lord, it lights up our path. You give us the ability to see how to walk, where to walk, what to do. And we thank you, Father, you've given us access to you, to your throne of grace, not because of our goodness, but because of the blood of Christ. And because of that precious blood, we can come with confidence before your throne of grace. We thank you, Lord, that your blood availed for us. And that even today, Father, we can be forgiven, our sins blotted out, and our names in heaven. We thank you for that, Father. Father, thank you that you've made us able ministers. by your Spirit. Teach us how to rely on walk with you every day and to be a blessing. Father, we ask you to make each one of us a blessing. Bless us so we'll become a blessing. And that out of our lives, Jesus would shine. Father, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us with might in the inner man by your Spirit. Prepare us, equip us for the mission that you've called us to. God, we want to be about your business. We don't want to be distracted by lesser things. But we want to be fully engaged in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is never in vain. Father, forgive us for our sins. Blot out our transgressions. Purge our iniquities. And fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your power. Clothe us in your righteousness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name.